Right, we're going to turn to John chapter 10, if you would, please. And then we'll be able to get started here. John chapter 10. Today's the last day that I will be teaching from John 10. Again, for the sake of our visitors, the usual teacher for this class is our pastor. And so when we came to John 10, he asked me to teach the beginning portion of it here. We're going through verse 16. As a matter of fact, that's our text verse for today, verse 16. And so I've been, this will be my third lesson on that, on this passage. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are once again thankful for the opportunity we have to be here in church. We're grateful, Father, for the work of your Holy Spirit that has put within us that desire. For we surely recognize that in our old nature, this flesh, we would very, very likely be somewhere else were it not for the work of your Spirit in us. I pray, Father, for any that may not know Christ as Savior, that they may come to an awareness of their need for salvation, trust Christ. And Lord, for each of us then as believers, wherever we are on the matter of growth, the matter of fellowship and a walk with you and our relationship with you, Lord, we just pray that you'll meet each one of us, for we know there are certainly varied levels of commitment to you in a group this size. And so to this end, we pray in Christ's name, amen. All right, John chapter 10, verse 16, where Jesus says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Who are the other sheep? The sheep he's speaking of are, of course, Israel, the Jews to whom he has been speaking and addressing and to whom he came. John chapter 1 verse 12 tells us that he came unto his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so here in verse 16, I am going to identify the other sheep as Gentiles. Now I'm sure that you can find Bible teachers who would identify the other sheep differently. And so I'm giving to you what I understand to be the primary or most familiar understanding of what he means when he says other sheep. And I'm going to use scripture to try to verify that to you. And so John, we're in John. Let's look at chapter 11 and verse 47. John 11 and verse 47. "Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we, for this man doeth many miracles? If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation.'" Their place was their leadership within the nation of Israel. The Romans allowed them to rule within their religious realm, but if there came any kind of indication of insurrection, they'd lose that from the Romans. And of course, he was being hailed as the leader of the Jews and was being presented as one who would be in control, if you please, of the nation of Israel, and the Romans wouldn't allow that kind of place. And so they were concerned, they were interested in their own positions. Verse 49, and one of them named Caiaphas, now there's a familiar name, isn't there, when it comes to the crucifixion of Christ and all of the events that are dealt with around Easter time. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year. And Pastor dealt with this not too long ago, there's been a criticism of the scriptures because of the high priest and, you know, who the high priest was and the name of the high priest and how there seems to be a contradiction. And part of that comes right here. It's explained in verse 49, Caiaphas being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. So Caiaphas, not realizing fully what he's saying, is identifying the fact that Jesus, yeah, he's going to die for that nation. Now, in Caiaphas's view, it was so that they could escape Roman intervention. We know from, as Paul Harvey is so well known for saying, the rest of the story, this was a far greater death for the nation Israel. And verse 52, and it says, and not for that nation only, but also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And so here we find the Gentiles referred to as the children of God. Now, Israel, the Jews, were a chosen people. They were special. They were used by God to accomplish all that we know of from the scriptures. And they have been set aside temporarily during this church age that we're in. And we know that in end times, they are going to come into prominence again. But their purpose was to bring the Messiah, not just for the salvation of the Jew, but for the salvation of mankind, which includes the Gentiles. Now, we're still in John. Look at chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 32, where Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Will draw all men unto me. Now, all seems, you know, well, that means all Jews, but it doesn't say that.
That's right.
Okay. And other scriptures we're showing will clearly indicate that it's all men, meaning Jew and Gentile. Now, Genesis chapter 49. Genesis 49. I know a lot of times when many scriptures are referred to, the preacher will just read them either from memory or from a list that he has. But it's important that we turn to them and see them. John 49 and verse 10.
Genesis.
Thank you. Genesis. This is a group lesson. Thank you, Chris. Genesis 49 and verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The gathering of the people. Now, gathering is a key word, and the people is also a key word. And this is one of the first promises of the Gentiles being included. I see you're at the gauges. Is the mic here not on?
It just changes volume when you lean in and out.
So we're on this. We're not on the lapel mic? Yeah, okay, all right, very good. And so Genesis 49:10 is the first promise of the Gentiles being included. If you turn now to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And here the whole chapter deals, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, okay? But the whole chapter deals with the gospel being given to the Gentiles. Verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He wants him to know to find the right Simon and where he's located. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And you go on reading and you find out that Peter's vision, okay, shows him that they are now able, you see, to partake of various food that they were heretofore forbidden to eat. And verse 17, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius made an inquiry. And so God begins to put it together. The end result from this chapter is that the gospel is given to the Gentiles. And we know that prompted the council in Jerusalem. What's the place of the Gentiles? And because it began as a Jewish event, they felt that now the Gentiles needed to be circumcised. And Paul enters into this a whole debate and says, no, they don't need to be circumcised, and it becomes a quite involved matter. But what we're saying, Genesis 49:10, first promise that the Gentiles were going to be involved. And now Acts, that is explained in some detail. But these aren't the only places. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 11. If you'll turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 10. Isaiah 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. Ensign of the people, an emblem. The ensign, a banner, a sign of the people. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. people again, broad understanding. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glory. So here again, you see, now we have the involvement of the Gentiles. So this is not just a Jewish fold that Jesus is gathering in John chapter 10. He says there are other sheep. And throughout Scripture, the place of the Gentile is there. This is not a Jew only. Now, Paul, by inspiration of the Spirit, said to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. This is not an elimination of the Jew. Do not understand this lesson or this emphasis to be any elimination or even diminishing of the Jew. They have their God-given place. But their place of prominence does not diminish or eliminate the Gentile. All right, we're in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 11. Or chapter 11. Verse 10. I'm having trouble with this. All right, verse 11 again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. Now, the islands of the sea is a term that I understand to mean all of the other nations. He names nations here. Yep. And you know, people often ask, well, where's the United States in the scriptures? Well, it's not in the scriptures by name, but it is generally considered to be included in the islands of the sea, or another term, the Isle, ISLE, the Isle of the Sea, meaning the nations beyond. They existed, you see, these other nations that we know of today. There's Asian nations that existed. Australia was there, right? New Zealand was there. But they're not named in the Bible. And the reason they're not named in the Bible is because they were not a part of what God was doing in calling Abraham, creating the nation Israel, the provision of the Messiah for the salvation of all mankind. And so that's what he's talking about here in verse 11. And then verse 12, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, plural, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel. So now here we see the Jews being referred to, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This seems to be a back and forth, but there's an order that I'm trying to follow. We're going back to Genesis. Okay? Back to Genesis, this time to chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. What I'm going to show you is the establishment of the nation Israel in the Abrahamic covenant, but also the place of the Gentiles in that Abrahamic covenant. All right, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. We understand this to be God's promise to Abraham to establish through him the nation Israel. But there's not a period in verse 3 after him that curseth thee. There's a semicolon, and the thought continues, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, were all families part of the establishment of the nation Israel? No, only those who were the descendants of Abraham. Those from the islands of the sea, those from all around inhabited earth, they are included, however. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. An excellent Bible teacher who was a missionary in Suriname, South America, Daryl Champlin. And I quote his name for two reasons. One, to give him acknowledgement of the information, and then also in case anybody happened to ever hear of him. Brother Champlin, when he taught this 12th chapter, he said, I will make of thee a great nation. That's the upper level of the Abrahamic covenant. And then he says, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's the lower level or aspect of the Abrahamic covenant. But you see, what we're getting at is just what Jesus said in John chapter 10, other sheep other than the Jews. I know John 10 doesn't say other than, I inserted the word and, but that is what is being inferred there, other sheep. Sheep in addition to that of the Jew. Now, let's look at the New Testament regarding this. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2. I am going to begin reading in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning to read in verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. So who is he addressing? Gentiles. Who are called uncircumcision. Well, who calls them uncircumcision? Called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision. In other words, the Jews. In the flesh made by hands. Circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They weren't part of that upper level of the Abrahamic covenant. They weren't part of the Jews, because they weren't Jews. The commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants and promises, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, if you mark in your Bible, you can circle that but now, because this is an important matter. Because now things are different. But now in Christ Jesus, the one who said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We were once in the lower level of the Abrahamic covenant, but we are now made nigh. And there's now one in Christ Jesus. And so there is no longer an upper level and a lower level. Amen. We're all on the same level. The ground is level, the gospel songwriter wrote, at the foot of the cross. Well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. I left teaching and went to preaching there. And he says, verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. The message that Jesus preached was including the Gentiles, absolutely, but it was also the message he was preaching before the Jews. And they missed it. He came unto his own, they didn't receive him. Okay, and so then we have in the beginning of John the introduction of the Gentiles, but as many as received him. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So the Jew and the Gentile are now one in Christ Jesus. And that is so, so significant when it comes to understanding the other sheep. Last passage that I'll have you turn to is 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. And he referring here, again, referring to Gentiles. And he calls verse 9, says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." He uses some terminology that has heretofore been used in the description of the Jews and their relationship with Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 10, "Which in time past were not a people." See, the Jews were considered a people. What people? The people of God. "And in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy." And that's through Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to turn to it. But if you were to look at Acts chapter 15, almost the entire chapter is about the Gentiles being part of God's working. And that's part of dealing with this matter that the early church had to get settled. What's the place of the Gentile? Because it began as a Jewish entity. Because Jesus came, presented himself as Messiah to the Jews. The Jews that believed in him got what we would refer to as saved. But then God had opened the door to the Gentiles, but now they had to try and understand. Well, we know, a little illustration here, we know that this building and this congregation that's here, this is for people in New York and particularly for Black Creek and environs. Well, what about those of us that live in West Clarksville and Olean and Rushford and Pennsylvania even?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that far. What about them? And so, well, you know, you've got to have a special business meeting. And you've got to decide, can people outside of Black Creek and the environs of Black Creek be a part of this church? Yeah, that's what they were doing in Jerusalem, and the council, the leaders of that first church, they had to decide, could the Gentiles be part of this? And boy, when the Apostle Paul steps on the scene, he deals with that thing right head on. Now, the Gentiles were first given the gospel through Peter, but then, and you would think at that point that Peter was going to be the apostle to the Gentiles, but it was just through Peter that the introduction of the gospel for the Gentiles came. It was Paul, the Jew's Jew, the ultimate Jew. And we know that what he was doing when he got saved, he was on the way to Damascus. You hear about that in the news even today. He was on the way to Damascus to do what? Kill some more Christians. God said, "I have another plan." And so he got saved then. And now he, the Jew's Jew, becomes the apostle to the Gentiles. And therefore, when the Jerusalem Council met, Paul shows up, and well, that's five more lessons. So we'll just stop there. Father in heaven, thank you for your word, and thank you for what understanding of it you give us. God, help us to use it, not just by way of knowledge in a historical sense and even contemporary sense, but help us to understand it, how it works in our lives, and to help us to be more dedicated and committed to you. Thank you for making us, Father, part of that fold that Jesus said he would gather others unto. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, that exceeded my expectations. That was very good.
Well, good, good.
That will bear that lesson to us. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, we could leave out.
Good. Yes. Yeah.
Hey, Pastor.
Yes.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. How's that again?
The numerology.
Yeah.
And the number of the Gentiles. 12, the number of the Jews.
Okay.
Broken down.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
That?
Yeah,
that is.
I know, yes, but we're going to leave it right here so we don't lose any piece of it. Okay? It's going to stay right there. Give it all five. Give it all
five. I didn't do it.
Here. You better run it out to the car. Hurry, hurry.
There's Mr. How are we doing today?
Oh,
no, no. You're all right. That's all right.
Yeah.